Good morning. Good to be with you. I was a little worried when our brother got excited and was getting into Romans. I thought he was going to preach my sermon for me, and then I wouldn't have had to get up. I do want to say it really has been a great privilege to be with you for these days. It has been a joy. And as I said yesterday, I want to thank you for all your prayers, because 2 years ago, I wasn't sure if I was going to be in heaven, but I'm still looking forward to it nevertheless. Well, I'm going to ask you this morning. Oh, incidentally, you don't have lunch until 1:30 or something, is that right? I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading at verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, and I'll read to the end of the chapter. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are encouraging words, and I hope by God's grace I will be able to encourage you this morning as we go through the scriptures. Now, you'll notice that we're not too far from verse 28. And when I go to Romans 8, people assume I'm going to start at verse 28 and go through it. And incidentally, I just want to say one thing here. Jimmy, you're doing a good job with the 8. Perfect. Yes, 8. All right. Now, in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, in verse 28, there are those verses that run from verse 28 on. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, when I was preaching the other evening, I did talk about being called. And folks, when we read those things in the scriptures, they should rejoice our hearts, because we are a unique people. We're a called people. It doesn't matter whether you speak with a Scots-Irish accent or with a Mexican accent or a Russian accent or even an American accent. The fact of the matter is, if we are called in Christ, we have all the blessings of his salvation. So verse 28 tells us that we know, I love this, we know. We know God. We believe our God. We know that all things work together for good. Sometimes I don't understand them, but I can tell you something, God knows them. God knows everything that's going on. And it is in that context, when he gets to verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he called, whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So having set before us this incredible truth of the sovereign electing grace of God, he does say, what can we say? This is amazing. There's nothing much negative we can say. If God is for us, if God is on our side, there's nothing can touch us. Now, in present America, this situation, I think, is presenting itself to us more and more. I've said this many times, forgive me if I'm repeating myself. But my wife and I came to the United States of America in 1970. And the country we're living in today is not the country we came into in 1970. So, what shall we say to these things? And then he goes on to tell us about the God who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with us freely give us all things? And then, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Preacher doesn't justify you. Your good works don't justify you. It is God who by his sovereign grace justifies sinners. Sinners who don't deserve anything but judgment. Then in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, having said that, I started at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? If we are in Christ through sovereign electing grace, we've been brought savingly to Christ. We are held up, as it were, by God. We are in His hands. We belong to Him. And there is nothing and no one that will remove us from the hands of our Savior. And so I want us to see these verses and just go through them. And I pray that God would use them to encourage us even today. Now he says, who shall separate us? Who are the us? The elect of God. The people he has chosen from before the foundation of the world. He says, who can separate us? All of God's elect, held by his hands, as it were, enclosed by his arms. Who shall separate us? It's almost like a challenge to the world. You don't dare touch my people. And I think that's one of the ideas that I would take from there. Now, he's posing this question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, of course, we know that no one shall separate us, and nothing. So we're going to go into some of these things. And as I say, I want them to be an encouragement to you. I want them to be a blessing to you. But before I do that, let me take you to 1 John 4, and 9, verse 19. I want to read a verse there. 1 John 4, 19. And then we'll get into some of the specifics here of our passage. 1 John 4:19. Let me read it. We love him because he first loved us. And all the blessings we have, and these blessings that we're going to talk about, are because he first loved us. He took us into his family. He put, as I said earlier, he put his arms around us. So let's go to this 35th verse and the verses that follow. He lists things. What's going to separate us from the love of God? Who's going to separate us? And then he goes through things. I want to go through them one at a time and just make a comment about them. Shall tribulation or distress? Some have translated tribulation to mean affliction in general. Who is going to separate us from the love of God? Now, I'm sure in our lives we go through all sorts of interesting situations, circumstances, some of them that take us down, some of them that lift us up. And I think sometimes we can get discouraged. We can let the world, as it were, beat us over the head. In the Gospel of John chapter 16 and verse 33, I would like to read that to you. Here is Jesus speaking. And he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, Christian, there are things that come along that would bring us down. There are things that will happen that will have us wondering. But God's word to us, and I hope we get this tonight, today. God's word to us is, I'll be there. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to protect you. And if you do go through the mill, as it were, I have a reason for it. And you know, sometimes, Christians, we forget that God knows what he's doing. And he'll be testing us in all sorts of ways. And he may take us through the wilderness for a while. But remember, he has a reason for it. It is for our good. Everything he does is for our good. So he says, tribulation or distress. Oh, I'm sure we come against difficulties on a daily basis. We come against situations that just give us anguish, and we're not sure how to deal with them or what to do with them. No, but he's not even stopping there. he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution. Now, I'm not sure that many of us in this building today have been persecuted because of our Christianity. But do you know there are people all over the world today who have died because of their Christian profession? Who have been beaten
because of their Christian profession, who have been tortured, imprisoned. I don't know if I mentioned in the other meeting the other day, but forgive me if I repeat myself. I'm over 21. But you've all heard of Richard Wurmbrand, haven't you? I think he was the Romanian. I met him one day. Jean and I were at the seminary in Toronto, and we were walking along Yonge Street, and there's a couple heading in our way, and I said, "Jean, that looks like Richard Wurmbrand." And sure enough, it was Richard Wurmbrand, the man who was tortured by the communists. And we met together and we talked, and I don't know if I was out of line or not, but I said, "We're not far from our seminary. Would you like to come and talk to our folks in the seminary?" "Oh, yes, sir, I'd like to do that." So Richard Wurmbrand came along and gave us a little bit of the history of what he had suffered for the cause of Christ. He had not committed any crime. And during the course of his talk, he showed us his back. Full of holes you could put a finger into. Those holes were made by white hot pokers, torturing him. And he lived to continue his testimony for the Lord Jesus. My dear friends, we've been blessed in this country. But you know, and I am only speaking for Jim McDowell, I don't know how much longer that blessing is going to last. Because there's a hatred for Christianity. There's an antagonism for Christianity in this country that I never believed we would ever have. I really didn't. So, persecution, it may come. It may be little for some people. It may be great for others. But God will protect us in persecution. This man, and he's only one of many, is proof of that. God kept him. God preserved him. God watched over him. Persecution. It'll come. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And let me read one of the scriptures there. I'll be turning you to a number of scriptures, but that's the best book to look at anyhow. We used to sing a little song at home. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on your way. Well, the best book to read is the Bible. And that's not changed any. It's still the same. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12, 10. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." This man says, listen to what he says, "I take pleasure." Now, I don't think he's saying to himself, "Oh, come on, guys, this is fun." No, but he understands he's serving his God, and he is ready for it. And he knows God is going to give him the grace to face it. And my dear friends, when it comes, are we going to face it with the grace that those of the past have done? Tribulation, distress, persecution. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. And verse number 12, I think, is where I'm going. 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus," now listen to the next three words, "shall suffer persecution." You read the first century history, what happened to these people by the Romans and the Jewish leaders. They hated Christianity. Nothing has changed. No. Right. But God blessed this nation. God gave us leaders who first of all loved Him. I don't believe all our founding fathers were born again people. But I do believe they were men who recognized the authority of Scripture to some extent or other. And they sought to build their government on that basis. And I believe it is that alone has kept us to this day. And it is because we have rejected God's revelation. It's because we have turned our back on God's revelation that we're going to see more and more things happen as time goes on. Well, anyhow, here it is. Persecution, famine, nakedness. Poverty is how some have interpreted this. Poverty. Left with nothing.
left with nothing. I can see the day when people in this country might have to go to the field and pick for something to eat. You don't think that's possible? We're doing everything in our power to destroy this country. Peril. Dangers of all sorts is how one has interpreted them. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Perils. I remember my dear friend Ian Paisley. Some of you may have heard me talk about him. A stalwart for the faith in Northern Ireland. And Ian preached a message one time. Paul's string of perils. And he went through the various perils that Paul faced. Only for one reason, because of his love for the Lord Jesus. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And it goes down a whole list. Are we not living in some of those days? Oh, brother, sister, what a situation we face. Peril is all around us. But think back to our brothers and sisters in the first century and the peril they faced and the dangers they faced. And in it all, they praised their God. They rejoiced in His salvation, because our salvation goes on forever. Nothing that man can do will stop the work of our sovereign God. And then he says the sword. Violence. Think of all the violence we have experienced in this country just in a recent year or two. Isn't it amazing that only one group is allowed to be violent, the others can't do anything? Violence! Paul faced these things. Read the testimony of his life. These were bad times for him. A quote from Charles Hodge. Now, I'll be using some names, and you may want to have a meeting to disbar me afterwards, but I'm going to read them anyway. All right. Here's what Charles Hodge says. Trials and afflictions of every kind have been the portion of the people of God in all ages. And believer, let's remember that. We've had it pretty easy. We cannot destroy the love of Christ towards us. They ought not to shake our love towards Him. Don't let anything stop you walking with Christ. Even if it's a prison cell. Even if it's out in the streets with nothing. I hope I'm not sounding too gloom, but folks, the way we're looking at it at the moment, God may take us through a time of trial, a time of tribulation. In the light of all of these things, what is the Christian's condition? Number one, the believer is held in God's arms. Never forget that, Christian. We are held in God's arms. We are guided by His Spirit. One day we're going to see Him. That should never leave our minds. I don't know when He's coming, and I haven't written the book to give you the date. But I do know He's coming, because He said He would. He's coming again. And I look forward to that day. And it may be sooner than some of us think. What a day that will be, when my Savior I will see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. So here we are. And we're facing these issues. And Paul is seeking to encourage us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or a sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is where it is written. Listen to what he says. As it is written. I wonder where it's written. In the pages of the Old Testament. Here are these New Testament writers recognizing the authority of the Old Testament scriptures. They're not liberal like many of our theologians are today. Oh, well, Brother McDowell, you know, come on, that was old-fashioned stuff. Forgive me, I'm going to tell you a story, and if you've heard this story from me before, just put it down to, I can be repetitive. When I was in college a few moons ago, I was sitting in a class with a professor who was a man with two doctorates, an ordained Episcopal priest, out every Sunday preaching. So we were talking about, he was going through history, he was talking about Moses in the burning bush. Have you heard this one? If you have, just bear with me. So he's telling us, you know, Moses was ancient. Moses was not sophisticated like we are today. So you have to, he was an evolutionist, of course. So you have to allow for that. So here's actually what happened. Now you guys, you open your Bibles and you read this stuff and you just rejoice in it. But that's not really what happened. Here's what happened. Here is Moses, a backward sort of guy. He turns around the mountain. He's looking after sheep. After all, he can't be sensible if he's looking after sheep. Can't be a wise guy. Or he'd been a professor in one of the Old Testament colleges. You know. So here he is. He goes around the desert and he looks at a bush. And in his eyes, that bush is on fire. But fellas, he says to us, you know fine well that doesn't happen. Let me explain it to you. Well, here's how I explain it. When Moses came around the mountain, he saw the bush, and to him it looked like it was on fire. But the way the sun was shining on it, that's what gave him that impression. So he just wrote down the bush was burning, but wasn't being consumed. You know, people's ideas are sometimes more difficult to take hold of than they say the scriptures are. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Sheep for the slaughter. He's writing this 2,000 years ago. And they knew something about this experience. It happened to them all the time. The Romans didn't like Christianity any more than anybody else. So he says, we are accounted as sheep. We can be put to, this is the way I'm interpreting it. We can be put to death at will. When they get tired of us, they'll get rid of us. They will take care of us. Now he says, for thy sake we are killed. Let me point that out. Why are we being killed? Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we seek to serve the Son of the living God. We are accounted as sheep. We can be put to death when they feel like it. I mean, that's really what it boiled down to. If the jail was too full, they could have taken some out and said, that's it, we're finished. Why? Who had they murdered? What had they stolen? They were out on the streets preaching Christ and Him crucified. When I was a young fella, I did a lot of my preaching in the open air, in fields and street corners and all the rest of it. You wouldn't dare do that now in many places. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. All right. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, do you see that? In all these things. He outlists the state of things. We're being killed. We're being tortured. All these things are happening to us. And yet he says, in all these things, these tortures and these beatings, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. No matter what is happening to you, Christ will never leave you. No matter what the circumstances, you're enfolded in Christ's arms and He's not going to let you go. He's going to go with you through the flood. He's going to go with you through the fire. He's going to uphold you. And sometimes He takes us through a lot of floods. And sometimes He takes us through a lot of turmoil. But He's doing it for a reason. He's tempering us. I used to work in the shipyard in Belfast. Now, I wasn't a riveter. I kept away from those guys as far as I could. But they had these rivets and they put them in the fire and they turned white hot. I wouldn't touch them.
Wouldn't touch them.
So I wouldn't. But those things were hot. I kept away from them. I had enough sense, I think, at that time to know that. No matter what we are going through, God is with us. No matter what direction things are moving, God is with us. In all these things, he doesn't say in some of these things, he doesn't say in the most difficult of these things, he doesn't say, well, when I feel like it, in all these things, speaking to the believers, we are more than, we have victory. Regardless of what is happening around us, regardless of what is taking place, there's no way God's going to let us go. I said a few things the other night about Paul. You want to see some, read some of the things that actually happened to Paul because of his Christian testimony. I've had the, I suppose I would call it a blessing, of reading a lot of history of the martyrs of the Lord Jesus. And it would make you weep reading what happened to some of these people. And yet it happened for one reason and one reason only. They were God-fearing people. They were honest people. But they were Christians. That's it. Pure and simple. They were Christians. So he says to them, in all these things. And he listed an awful lot of hard things. But he said in all of them. No exceptions. In all of them. We are more than conquerors. But it's not us. It is Christ in us. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And guess what He did? He gave Himself for us. Christian can face anything because of the love of Christ who upholds him or her. Christian, we are in the hands of Almighty God. He takes us through the fire. You remember those men in the Old Testament who were in the burning, in the fire? I believe God was with them. Yeah. And God is with us. When we go through the challenges of life, when we go through the things that are not what we'd expect, doesn't matter what it is, God is with us. And I've sat down sometimes and read these words, and I think to myself, it's even more than normal. Not just He take us through it, but we are more than conquerors. A conqueror was a victor. Now, I played a lot of soccer over in Belfast. It's football, but we won't get into that. I played a lot of soccer, and there was one thing that I wanted my teams to do. Guess what? Win. Didn't feel good if we didn't win. We had to win, and we stuck together. God enables us to win. We're not alone. We're never alone. No matter what is happening, we're never alone. And the thing, sometimes Christians, we forget that. You know, there's a burden, there's a sickness, there's something. Oh, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to face this? God said, I'm with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. What? No matter what's happening, you're never going to leave me? That's right. All right. I could go on, but I'm trying to get through as best I can. I want you to turn to verse 38. And I've simply entitled verse 38, A Settled Conviction. Paul says, For I am persuaded. I am persuaded. This is fixed. I have no doubt about it. I'm settled in it. I'm persuaded. You don't need me. You don't need to convince me. I know it. I'm settled in it. What is he persuaded of? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's not a thing that will separate us from our sovereign God. I am persuaded. None of these things. Now listen as we go through the list. I am persuaded that neither death, because in death we're going to be with the Lord. See? Life, the challenges of life, the battles of life, angels. Oh, the Bible believes in angels. Praise God. Those ministers of God for us. And the angels were under God's direction. Nor principalities, nor powers. That includes, may I say, the government. Nor things present, nor things to come. In other words, there's nothing now, and there's nothing to come that's going to keep me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is a fact in this man's heart and mind. It is a fact. It's a settled conviction. Turn with me to chapter 14 and verse 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 14. And let me read it to you. Here's what the scripture says in the 14th chapter and the 14th verse. I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But here's the point I want to get. I know and I'm persuaded exactly by the Lord Jesus. I know it. I'm persuaded about it. I've no doubt about it. As Christians, that should be our attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Let me go there with you. If I got the right part of my New Testament, I'd be there. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me read it to you. 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to read two of the verses. First of all, in verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. I'm fixed in that conviction. Stay there and go to verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. That's the apostle talking about his Christ. Yeah. I know whom I have believed. There's no question about it. And I'm persuaded. I have this conviction, this settled conviction, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That I have committed unto him against that day. Brother, sister, we put them all on the Lord. We give him our burdens. Ask him to take us through this, that, or the other thing. He's the one who's going to give us the strength we need no matter what the situation is. Mr. Halvin, in his commentary on the book of Romans, said, this persuasion is not conjectural, but an assured confidence. An assured confidence. An assured confidence. And I think it is important for us to see this. Well, I've already read that. Now, he goes on and he finishes his list as we go back to Romans chapter 8. He says, principalities, powers, things present or things to come. What's happening now? What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But no matter what happens tomorrow, God has it under control. Believer, God has it under control. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. We just heard it, that his son, the Lord Jesus, he said to his disciples, all power is given unto me, in heaven and on earth, go ye. They weren't going alone. The Lord was going with them. Principalities, powers, things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Sometimes we forget ourselves. Any other creature. Doesn't matter what it is, who it is. Now, what will they not do? They'll not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, Amen. Our Lord. Brother, sister, If you're in Christ, you've been born again by the Spirit of God. You've been brought to a place where you repent of your sin and you believe the Savior. You're secure for time and for eternity. There is nothing that will separate us. It doesn't matter what it is. We leave this building, we don't know what's going to happen. But we do know this. God's in charge. And He's going to protect His people. And He's going to take His people through whatever experience they need. He's teaching us. He's building us up. When I was a soccer coach, I trained my teams. I put them through things to prepare them for the game. Why? Because I needed it. And here is the God of the heavens. And He's got us in His arms. And He's carrying us through all sorts of things. We're never left alone. Never. Sometimes it seems like it to us with our frail faith sometimes. Sometimes we feel God has left us. But He hasn't. Amen. And He never will. Amen. That's the message. Well, none of these things. No matter where they come from. No matter who they come from. Are going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything we have and are is tied to our relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking here about those who are born again. We're talking here about those who are Christians. Paul was a believer in the Lord Jesus. My question to you is this. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? I can't make you a believer. None of the preachers in this place can make you a believer. But the Spirit of God can. And as we face the trials, as we face the issues of our day, there is one who will hold us up. There is one who will put His arms around us. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, there is one who takes us and enwraps us in Himself. The Lord Jesus will never leave us, no matter what's happening. I want you to be assured as a child of God today. And this is for the children of God. I want you to be assured that if you leave this building, you don't go alone. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you have one who's holding you up, watching over you, keeping you, blessing you. Yes, taking you through the mill, as it were, but He has a purpose for it. He has a reason for it. He's training you. He's preparing. He's strengthening you. Physical education and I never really got on. I didn't mind the playing soccer, but having to do all those exercises, not for me. But you know something? They were necessary. They were necessary. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt for our sin at Calvary. And He's not going to let us go. He's not going to let us go. We're His. And do you know how long we're His? For eternity.
Amen.
I'm going to stop because if I get going, we'll forget. Let me say this as I finish. There is nothing, there is no one who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And brother, sister, I want this to fill into your head and into your heart and into your soul. You are not alone. May God pour out His blessing upon you. May God hold you up. May God encourage your heart. May you see His work being completed even in you. May you see His hand hold you up in this situation and in that circumstance and just be able to rejoice and praise His name. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your power. and your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who holds us up. We stand on you. We sit on you. Lord, we are yours. We ask you to encourage this congregation today. We don't know the hearts of the people in this place, but Lord, you do. We don't know the challenges that some are facing, but you do. And so in that challenge, we ask you to come alongside and be pleased to lift them up and carry them through. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We pray these things in the name of the Savior. Amen.